In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Brothers and sisters, this is the second Sunday after Pentecost, and it is the custom in the local churches to commemorate the saints of that church. So in the Russian church, the All Saints of Russia. The Serbs would commemorate all the saints of Serbia. Of course, we celebrated All Saints of the entire world last week, and it is the custom this week to celebrate then of the local church. And the readings today are really right in a row. They're at the beginning of Matthew, or near the beginning of Matthew, when he called his disciples. And then immediately after calling his disciples, he gave a Sermon on the Mount, which is actually several chapters long. And these readings should be read together. It's fortuitous by the mercy of God that they're together today, because they really have much more meaning when they're read one after the other. Because they, together, constitute a paradigm of sanctification, of salvation. How to become a saint. And you've heard before, and I won't tire of telling you again, you should want to be a saint. This is the goal in life, is to become holy. So when we look at the holy ones that we have on the walls of our temple or in our homes, we should want to become like them. Not necessarily in every outer aspect of their life, but in the inner aspect, absolutely. Because we are called to holiness. Now, in anything in life, you must have simple ideas, simple priorities, in order to succeed. If there is something that you do because of some complex understanding, you will fail at it. You must have a simple idea about life, about anything. So, for instance, if you are a mother or a father, you love your child, and you will give your child everything they need, regardless. Doesn't matter when things are good or bad, when the child is obedient, or when the child is disobedient, or when there's trouble or no trouble. You're a parent, you love your child, and you will try to help your child in every way possible. The Christian idea is, of course, to be saved. It's the reason we bring children into the world, so that they can know God. So keep it simple. Now, in the Scriptures, the way you do this is the following. Read the Scriptures like a hunter, okay? You're hunting for what your soul needs. This is not just information. This is not just history. It is suitable, as the Apostle says, for doctrine and reproof and correction and instruction in righteousness. So read it with an idea that you need these things, and that somehow the Scripture, the Word of God, which can divide down to the bones and the marrow, can enlighten you in some way. And one of the best ways to do this is to read looking for special words, as it were, or special ideas. Learn to read and see the essence of what is being said. There might be some historical circumstance around it. There might be some personalities around it. And those things are important. But then get to the absolute essence of it. Probably the best way, the best example of seeing the essence of a truth is when the Lord, in answer to someone who said, "What is the greatest commandment?" He said to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. Neither of those are in the Ten Commandments. They are in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, separated by a vast number of words. They're not introduced as the greatest commandments, and yet they are. So, when we read the Scripture, we must see significant things in it. And this Scripture today is filled with, shall we say, key words that you should latch onto, and that really you should plumb the depths of. The first one is when the Lord says to Andrew and to Peter, "Follow me." And they did. They left their nets and they followed Him. So the first thing I want to present to you as the beginning of your sanctification is you must decide you're going to follow the Lord. This is not a trite idea now. To follow the Lord means to do everything He did. To follow someone means you learn from them. You look to them for guidance. And you do what they do. And you do what they say to do. Following the Lord is not something simple or something that happens just instantaneously. Following the Lord is a lifetime of effort. But the first thing you must do if you are to become fruitful in following the Lord is you must leave your nets. The nets have a meaning, many types of meanings in the Scriptures. The apostles were told to let down their nets for a drop. And that is the idea of preaching the gospel and bringing all people to Christ. And the nets also can mean something that entangles us. And in this case, this is what the meaning is. You must leave your nets. Oh, we have a lot of things that are nets. We have our pride. We have vanity. We have ambition. We have anger, sloth, lust, laziness, everything. All those things are nets. And really, I think the greatest and the biggest and the most entangling net of all is that we don't have good priorities. When we get up in the morning, what is it that we want to do the most? If it is to become holy, then we are living a Christian life. If that is not our first priority, then we have not left down our nets. It really doesn't matter what your day is going to be, what you're going to have to do, if you're going to have to travel a ways or see a lot of people or make a lot of decisions or go to court or whatever it is. It doesn't matter. What matters is whether you're going to become holy that day or holier that day. So if we decide to follow the Lord, we have to leave our nets. And those things have to be uppermost in your mind. Now, I'm not talking about the part of your mind that does thinking and forms words. I'm talking about the deep recesses of your soul where your true treasure is. You must desire to follow the Lord and go away from your nets. Not a conscious thing with words. Because if you have to remind yourself in that way, then you haven't fully brought it into your heart. Just like a mother will love her son or daughter, get up late at night, early in the morning to feed them or to take care of them if they're feverish without a thought. It takes effort to get out of the bed, but no effort to decide to do it. Because that's just the way things should be. If you love your child, it has to be in your heart like that. You have to decide to follow the Lord and put down your nets. And then we come to the Beatitudes. Before the Lord said His blessed Beatitudes, He went up into a mountain. He climbed up into a mountain. To climb into a mountain takes effort, and you leave behind most people. Because at the top of the mountain, very few people can be there. First of all, very few people want to go there, want to expend the effort, and there's not enough space for many people. This also must be deeply in your soul, that you want to go up to the mountain. You don't want to be like the rest of the world. The vast majority of the world is perishing. Even people that go into churches and kiss icons, the vast majority are perishing. The road is very narrow that goes up this mountain. You have to set it in your heart that you want to go up to this mountain. Because at the top of this mountain is the Lord. And He will teach you. And He will show you what you need to know. So these three things have to be in your heart, brothers and sisters, if you're to be saved. You have to follow the Lord. Have in your mind Remember, not in the mind that forms words and pictures, but the deep part of your mind, the deep part of your soul that has your treasure, that you want to follow the Lord. And then, in following the Lord, that you want to, as you are able, according to your abilities and your zeal, leave away from your nets, from the things that entangle you, from the things that are not godly. And then, in leaving your nets, follow the Lord to the mountain, where most people will not be. Very few people will be at the top of the mountain. But we're called to be there. All Christians are called to go there. But not all Christians will. Many are called, but few are chosen. Don't be among those that are called, but that do not go. These three things must be deeply in your soul. They must affect everything that you do in your life. When the Lord spoke His Beatitudes, He began with general themes. And those are full of key words too. The poor in spirit and the meek and those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. We could speak a long time on these things. This is the definition of the perfect man. The one who is poor in spirit. The one who is meek. The one who hungers and thirsts after righteousness. The one who is pure in heart, for the pure shall see God. The one who is a peacemaker. These words have deep meaning. Not the dictionary meaning, but the Christian meaning. And that can only be understood by living according to these words. No definition in words does these words justice. To be a peacemaker is to be like Christ. There is no definition that can teach you to be like Christ. Only following Him, desiring to know Him, will teach you to be like Christ. Now, after the Beatitudes, the Lord launched into the most profound sermon that was ever spoken. He taught us the inner meaning of the Ten Commandments, and really all of the commandments. But before He taught us this inner meaning, the disciples had to desire to follow Him, they had to leave away from their nets, and they had to follow Him up the mountain. And then they listened to, before His great dogmatic exposition on the commandments, on how to live. They listened to a general exposition, the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes must be deeply in your heart. You can't, in the time of conflict, be able to come up with some theological reasons why you should or shouldn't do something. There is not time to do that. You must have in your heart what you should do. So, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. It must be in your heart that you want to be pure. So if something presents itself that is not pure, it should be repulsive to you because you know that with purity is God, and without purity there is not God. It shouldn't be a decision that you make so much as something, for lack of a better word, instinctual. The soul should just know what is right and what is wrong, because these virtues should be deeply inculcated in us. Now, it takes a lot of time for this to happen, but it will happen if we have deeply in our heart the desire to follow the Lord, and deeply in our heart the desire to get rid of everything that is not according to the Lord. Some things we'll be able to get rid of easily. Other things will hang on for a long time. But if we recognize that there are these things that we should get rid of, and perhaps because of our weakness cannot, or our ignorance, or our sins, as long as we recognize that there are things that we need to get rid of, and also as long as we recognize that the Lord is not with the crowd, The Lord is on top of the mountain. And it takes effort to get on top of this mountain. I've told you before, the greatest heresy of all time is that salvation can be won without labor. It's just not true. It takes great labor to be saved. Of course, without the grace of God, nothing can happen. But His grace alone will not save. Many are called and few are chosen. Most people will not be saved. The rain falls on the evil and the good. God's grace is available to everyone. But not everyone uses it. Not everyone holds on to it. It washes away on that hard, packed ground. Or it is choked out by the weeds and the thorns. Or a person's life is so shallow that the grace will not cause fruit. Many are called, few are chosen. We are called. Will we be chosen? Will we become holy? Because you're called to holiness. So on this day when we commemorate all the saints of Russia, what we are commemorating is holiness. What we are commemorating is people who decided above all else they wanted to follow the Lord. And above all else they wanted to leave away from their nets. And above all else they were going to follow Him to the top of the mountain, no matter what effort it took. So may God help you. Keep these things in your heart. Deeply in your heart. The deeper theological understanding comes. The Sermon on the Mount contained deep theological dogmatic truths. None of it does you any good if you don't want to follow the Lord above all else. Because remember, truth is not a thing. Truth is a person. Truth is Jesus Christ. So if we are to be in the truth, we are in Christ. Which means we follow Him in all things. This is the purpose of your life, brothers and sisters. To follow the Lord to the top of the mountain. Because that's the only place there is happiness. It's the only place there's peace. It's the only place there's salvation. Just being a quote-unquote Christian is not enough. You have to want to follow Him. May God help you, my flock, to desire to follow Him in all things at all times. Amen.